just go ahead and bring the little lesson the Lord has given us this morning. Do I need to? It's ready to go. I've been meditating on our need of God and what God can do for us, but mostly upon what, how we need Him. Just thinking about the different things, different scriptures that bring out something that's really obvious anyway, but something that we tend to forget, and that is our own weakness. Now, it's not something that we need to use for an excuse, but it is something that we need to identify and realize that truly, without God, we can do nothing. And we can say that, and we can acknowledge that with our minds, with our mouths, but many times we attempt to do something even on our own and not really depend on God like we should, when the truth is that in and of ourselves, we as humans are very weak. There's different scriptures that I've thought about. You'd think, well, we can pray. But I thought about the scripture in Romans 8 and 26, where it says, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought." Here, you think, well, you just need to pray. But did you know that we can't even pray unless God helps us to pray? And the beauty of this is Romans 8 and 26. The beauty of this is that He does help us. The promise is right here. He helps our infirmities, but the truth is that we cannot pray as we should unless He helps us. Now that's dependence, because, you know, you would think, and sometimes I would think, well, I just need to pray. Well, yes, I do need to pray, but I need God's help when I pray to know what I should pray for. Then I think about the disciples, Matthew 26, I believe it is, and 40. Jesus asked His disciples, He took Peter and James and John with Him to the place where He was praying. And He told them to stay right there and watch with Him. Matthew 26 and 38. "Tarry ye here and watch with Me," He asked them. Well, what happened? He went a little farther and He fell on His face and prayed, saying, "Oh, My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from Me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou wilt." And He cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, "What? Could you not watch with Me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Does that describe? That describes us pretty good. We can't even watch and stay awake without the Lord helping us. Now again, we don't need to use that as an excuse for never watching. When the Lord says, "Watch and pray, get up and pray," we shouldn't say, "Well, my flesh is too weak, I can't do that." We don't have the right to do that. But the truth is, our flesh is really weak. We do fall asleep when we should be awake. So this has given us a little picture of just how weak we are without the Lord's help. Now another one, Romans 7. Here He's describing His efforts to be holy when He was just a law keeper and not a filled with the Spirit of God. This is his experience, and this will be your experience if you try to go through life without God's Spirit filling you. Romans 7 and 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. This is if you tried to live the Christian life in the flesh without the Holy Spirit of God, we can't do it. We can say, I am going to do this. It's my will. I've got my will in here. And he said, but how to perform that which is good, I can't find. I don't have the strength. I don't find the strength to carry it out. Then I was thinking of Moses back in Numbers 11. Moses had a job like no other. What was that? He was in leadership of over 1 million people, 600,000 men, and then they had their women and their children. And that's an unnamed number in the scriptures, but if you would compare it today, I mean, if you put 600,000 men and then you had wives and you had children, it puts it way up over 1 million. But that's what Moses had to do. Why would God call somebody to do something they could not do? Does he ever do that? Yes, he does. God does. He calls on humans to do tasks that are beyond them. What are we to do? Well, let's look at what he said here. Verse 10, Numbers 11. Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent. Now, why were they doing this? Why were they weeping? They were hungry, and they were bored with the food that they had. They were dissatisfied and discontent. They had just said they wished they had the fish and the cucumbers and the watermelon and the cantaloupe and the honeydew and the cassavas and all of those that they had down in Egypt. They were tasting it in their minds. We remember the fish. We remember the garlic. All these sweetness and pungent flavors. I mean, they were eating, every day they were eating manna. It was said wafers made with honey. That's what it tasted like. So they got really, really tired of a little sweet biscuit. Really tired of it. And they remembered this garlic and onions and leeks and melons, cucumbers and fish. That's interesting. And now our soul is dried away and there's nothing at all beside this manna. Well, Moses heard him weeping. It says the anger of the Lord, verse 10, was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased. And Moses said unto the Lord, wherefore or why hast thou afflicted thy servant? And wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? Have I conceived all these people? Have I begotten them that thou shouldst say unto me, carry them in thy bosom, as a nursing father beareth the suckling child unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers? Whence should I have flesh to give to all these people? For they weep unto me, saying, give us flesh that we may eat. I am not able to bear all these people alone, because it is too heavy for me. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me. We laugh, but There are times that God actually does put things on us that we cannot bear alone. I think we have a song about that, doesn't it? I cannot bear these troubles alone. And here Moses is there. And if I had to lead a million people through a desert, maintain their law and order, take care of waste and management, feed them, raise up a military, train soldiers, deal with domestic disputes, deal with civil disputes, people, a million of them, men, women, children, and livestock. They had those cows and all with them to do their they had, looks like they would have had milk. You think surely they would have had milk because they had all these cows and goats. And anyway, they got hungry and they wanted all that stuff from Egypt. Maybe they just didn't have milk going through the desert. I don't understand all about that. But anyway, they were saying to him, we want some meat to eat, and we want some fish with garlic, and we want watermelon on the side. So he said, I'm not able to bear all this people alone. Just kill me, because let me die, because I'm wretched. He said, let me not see my wretchedness. Well, the Lord came and visited him. He came and he proved some things to the people. I won't go into all that. But that's truly where we are. Let's think of another one. Jeremiah chapter 10. How about our ability to live our lives and to tell where we're supposed to do, what we're supposed to do, where we're supposed to go? How can you do that? Jeremiah 10 and verse 23. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. We can't do it. Well, you say, then let's listen to God and let God tell us what we're supposed to do. Well, let me show you something that he told his disciples. John chapter 16 and verse 12. He said, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them. You cannot bear them now. So we're just in quite a shape. We can't bear the loads that are our lot in life, or the things we can't deal with them by ourselves. We can't even deal with the things that God wants to tell us. We can't direct ourselves, our steps. We can't pray as we should. We can't do the good that we know we should do as we should. We're in a dilemma. We need something more than ourselves. What is it? What happened there with Jehoshaphat and the army there? 2 Chronicles 20. I love this story anyway, but this verse 12, is really always has stood out to me. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. There's a little glimmer of a little clue coming. Our eyes are upon thee. Now I want to give you something that's a wonderful promise. Isaiah chapter 40. Verse 28, we'll begin there. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? Neither is there any searching. There is no searching of his understanding. That means you can't say, okay, that's it. That's where his limit is. You can't do that with God. He never faints. He doesn't get weary. There's no searching of his understanding. And what else? He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. I'm thankful for that in the Lord. So I'm thankful that if we're like Moses and we've been given a job that we cannot do, he increases strength to those that have no might. If we can't bear it, he can help us to bear it. He can help us to bear with people. You say, I can't bear this. I can't put up with this. I can't deal with this. There's a promise here that we can get hold of that says he increases strength. To those that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord. What did he say there in 2 Chronicles 20? Our eyes are upon thee. Look at this thought in the Psalms. Let me see if I can find this. Where he talks about waiting. And it gives a word picture. Let's see. It's well, one picture is in Psalms 104, and he talks about the animals, the things in nature. Psalms 104 and verse 27, these wait all upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season. The animals, everything, they depend on the Lord to feed them. And Jesus brought this to our minds when he said, you behold the lilies and you behold the sparrows. They don't sow, they don't put forth effort, but God feeds them. So, that is a clue right there. Now I'm looking for the scripture that says, where is that one? As a mistress, as a maid looks to her mistress, and as a man looks toward his master. So, Oh, 123 of Psalms. Unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that he have mercy upon us. So we have there the answer. Our eyes are on you. And here's the way we do it. We're a servant or a handmaiden waiting upon the mistress or the master. And then in Isaiah 40, he says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. How does a servant wait on his master? He's ready to do what he asks him to do. He looks at him for direction. And Dan said his dad, he would tell his boys something, and Dan said that you'd better be up and going before the command was out of his mouth. You'd better be running when he'd say, go, and you'd better be up. Well, I don't think the Lord is a taskmaster that has no patience. I believe that one scripture says, the Lord waits on thee. He has compassion, and he endures, and he bears with us. But the secret for strength is to look to him and depend on him and wait upon him to supply your needs, but also to be willing and be ready and go at His command and do what He wants you to do and trust Him. He's going to give me strength. He's going to give me strength to do this. Lord, I delight to do Your will, oh my God. That'll take care of so many things for us. There's a tendency in us to excuse ourselves, our disobedience, our sins, our doubts, our hesitancy to do God's will by saying, but I just can't. When what He has promised us, I will renew your strength. I will help you. There's so many promises. I'll help you. I'll strengthen you. There's so many things. It's almost like if you get a new red car, then you notice all the other red cars on the street. Well, this one, when you get a hold of a truth in the scriptures and it blesses you, then you begin to see it all over in the Bible. You find other words. You find other passages that say the same thing, and you find out this is all through the Bible. Well, this one's all through the Bible where someone wasn't able or someone struggled and couldn't do something, and God helped them. And God puts us in positions where we have to have Him. Now, isn't that something? There's a woman in the New Testament there that Jesus came upon. She could in no wise, it says, lift up herself. She was bound with a spirit of infirmity. Now that's another, just even yet another level of weakness and inability is when the enemy of the soul has bound someone. There is no way you can get loose from the enemy on your own. You cannot do it. If you get loose a little bit, it will come back worse than ever. But there is only one who can really loose someone. And He spoke to that woman. He said, woman, you are loosed from the spirit of your infirmity. He is the only one who can truly save the soul from sin, forgive. Think about the different things that He has said. He said, where He talked about that man that he forgave his sins? And He compared it with healing. He said, which is easier? Or what requires more power? To say, rise, take up your bed and walk? Or to say, your sins be forgiven? He is the source of power for both. He can forgive sins. If He can forgive sins, and you and I are struggling to forgive, don't you think He can help us forgive? We can't do it on our own. We really can't. But with the Lord's help, and if we'll put forth that, Lord, I want to do your bidding. My eyes are upon you. You give me the command, I'm willing to do it. I'm willing. Well, you say, well, then we can be willing, but we don't have any power. But if we go at His bidding, if we get up and start moving, Lord, I can't do this, but I, by your strength and your help, I mean to do this, and I will do it because this is what I know you want me to do. Give me the strength and the power. Fill me with your spirit for this task. Help me to forgive, or whatever it is. We can't lift ourselves up. We can't forgive our own sins. We can't strengthen ourselves, but God can. He is the force and the power behind everything that we are going to need to do. Prayer, if we need to pray, He can give us the strength to pray. He can teach us how to pray. To direct our steps, it's not in us to direct our steps, but He can help us. He can tell us. He said, you'll hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. David said, he teaches my hands to war. He strengthens my hands to fight, one place said. He strengthens me with strength in my soul. Another place in the New Testament, it said, strengthen with might by his spirit in the inner man. That's what we need. He said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. That's what we need. We need the power that comes from His Spirit. Another place says, not by might. It's talking about literal forces, armies, whatever. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Another said, truly I am full of might and power by the Spirit of the Lord. So see, these things are true in His Word. Both the weakness that it states of mankind, all of us being as weak as we could be, not able, and yet by His Spirit, we can do the things that we were not able to do before. We need to plead every day, Lord, fill me with Your Spirit. I was reading about Hudson Taylor. He was a missionary around the 1850s, clear up until about 1900. He went to China. The whole story is too long for me to tell. But there came a point in his life, and several times in his life, where he felt he was not able to do what he wanted to do. He wanted to be free from his sins. And he said he came to a point where he was not being victorious over sin. And he began to plead for the Holy Spirit. He said, I had heard there was a deeper walk with God. I had heard that you could live in holiness. And he said, I came before God and began to seek for Him and plead with Him with all of my heart for Him to make me victorious over my sin. And He did. God did. He says He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increases strength. Paul had an affliction that came on him, and he prayed three times, take this away. Lord, take this away. And again he came, take this away. And he said that the Lord came to him and said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Well, where is that? There we go. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So then Paul said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory or praise the Lord in my weaknesses, in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches, in necessities and persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Do you know that secret this morning? Have you found that wonderful secret of abiding in the Lord, where your weakness is made into His strength? Did you know that's a possibility? Jesus said nothing is impossible with God, but did you know He also said to His disciples, nothing shall be impossible unto you? There's so many promises, and we sell Him short. We take the excuse and say, well, I can't do it. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. But Paul went along and said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We have, the flesh has weakness. Yes, it does. Jesus said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We can't pray. We don't know how to pray. We don't know how to direct our steps. We don't know how to fight. We don't know how to overcome. But He said He gives power to the faint. So that is what we want to focus on today. We all have these places that are too great for us. I remember something that I read when I was a child, and I took it for a motto for myself, and it was a poem that said, or a saying that said, pray not for tasks equal to your powers, but pray for power equal to your task. And that's how it's been all through life. The Lord just gives you just a little more, and you know it, a little more than what you can really do. But He wants to come and help us and strengthen us, and He will do it. He'll do it. He'll give us the strength to bear. I believe He gave Moses strength to bear with the people time and time again. That wasn't the first time that those people wept and moaned and pouted and came and bugged Moses. give us this and give us that. That it doesn't seem like that they really ever learned submission. They always were like that. But how old was Moses? 110, was he? I can't remember. But the Lord gave him strength all the rest of the time to deal with all of those people. He showed him secrets. His father-in-law actually showed him a secret. He said, here's a little plan you can use where you have administrators that you set up, and they people come to this one. There's for every one of these, he's in control of this many people. And then these answer to someone else, and then those answer to you. And only the most important problems really come to you. He showed him how to do that, how to delegate the duties that he had. One time he came to Elijah, and he said, Elijah, the journey ahead of you is too great for you. And so he fed him. And he went on the strength of that food 40 days and nights. To me, that's a great spiritual lesson. Not that we're going to have something from God that we never need to seek him for 40 days after that. That's not it. But what strength he gives us can help us to do whatever we need to do. That I know we should never doubt. We should never feel like, oh, I can't do this with all of these scriptures. But the truth is we forget and we need a reminder. Evidently, we need a reminder today because this is what the Lord's giving. He wants to remind all of us, I can help you. I can strengthen you. You can go one more day. You can go one more step. You can take one more thing. You can bear with this. You can put up with this with grace and with long suffering. What does he say? Charity suffers long and is kind. Charity bears all things. Sometimes we think that love is a kind of a puny thing, but love is a very strong thing. It causes us to be able to bear. Give me a little more love, precious Lord. We need his love. We need his, the love of God is shed abroad by his Spirit. So we need his Spirit. This morning, when you pray next time, I challenge you to bring your weakness and your failings to the Lord and begin to really ask, fill me with your Spirit. Fill me with might in my inner man to resist this temptation or to overcome this weakness, to be able to bear with this situation. I need something more than what I have. I need you to fill me with your Spirit. And I believe the Lord, is it his will? One scripture says, if you ask anything according to his will, he hears you. Is it his will? I believe it is. It's his will to fill us all with his Spirit. And if you think, well, I've come before him before and he did fill me with his Spirit. Did you know that it's okay to come back for more oil when your light has burned up all the oil he gave you in the past? We better come for more oil. We better say, Lord, I need a new touch. I need more in my life than I have right now. Like Hudson Taylor, he said he came to a point where he wanted more. How many of us go through life just kind of dissatisfied with our spiritual life and thinking, surely there's more? I remember hearing a song like that in my teenage where they were singing about being defeated and saying, surely there's more. Lord, I'm asking of thee. I believe there's more too. And I believe that it pleases the Lord for us to constantly come to the end of ourselves and throw ourselves on him and beg for his help. I believe he wants to help us. He puts situations into our lives to create that kind of hunger in us. And he wants us to help him. There are times, and that I have felt like that woman where it said she in no wise could lift up herself. And I have felt the Lord say, you're loosed from that and you can get up and you can face this. I remember one time when I was a young child, my dad was a preacher, and sometimes preachers' children catch the flack from people, and it hurts them. A lot of times preachers' children get bitter and say, why was I born a preacher's child? I just can't deal with all these people picking, and I love my dad, and I don't want people doing that to my dad. And it's hard sometimes. I got in a situation one time where I felt like some other people were pretty mad at my dad. I went home from church, and I got in bed, and I covered up my head. I did. I literally burrowed underneath the covers and thought, I will never go back. I was just so hurt because they were hurting my daddy, and you didn't hurt my daddy. That hurt me. And the Lord spoke to me. I was about 12 years old. The Lord spoke to me. And the reason why I went home by myself is I was about 12, and we were about 6 blocks from the chapel. In that town, our town was laid out in a grid, blocks. You can't do that around here, but we had blocks, and we walked about 6 blocks, constantly walked back and forth from the chapel to our house. So I remember I walked home, decided I wasn't going to go back, for a long time anyway. And the Lord spoke to me and said, get out of your bed and go back to the meeting. And I had some fear of God on me. I was afraid to just not obey the Lord. There were many times that I fussed with the Lord, and I was hesitant to obey the Lord, but to actually just not obey the Lord, it wasn't in me. So I got out of bed and combed my hair and washed my face and quit crying and went back down there. And I don't even remember how it all came about, but I was friends with everybody and after that. Had a rewarding life, never got bitter, and never left the church. Why? Because the Lord strengthened me in my soul. As a child, I could not bear that. But the Lord can give us strength to bear things. Hurts, offenses, we don't have to quit. I remember a brother preaching about that. He said, some people say, I don't come to church because of so-and-so. And he said, I look at it this way. You come and hurt me, I'm not going to leave my wife. He said, wouldn't that be ridiculous? You say something that offends me, and I go and leave my wife. What'd my wife do to me? And that's the point. If somebody hurts you, why are you going to leave the Lord? Why are you going to go and say, well, I don't want to live saved anymore because somebody hurt me? Ridiculous. The Lord can give us victory over hurts. And you're going to come and sometime and somebody's going to offend you and hurt you. It is the way of people to say things that they have no idea hurt another person. Even the way somebody laughs, or the way that somebody did their eyes, or forgot to call you, or didn't speak to you. And people get hurt and won't come back. Well, the Lord can give us grace to deal with people. Thank the Lord. Anything that we have, there's strength and grace from Him. Amen.